Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, for many of us, especially if you listen to the show, you'd be well aware that I often tell you that in as much as you and I can have conversations around our money, financial behavior, certain financial products that you can access, the truth is you need to speak to an expert, someone who works as an intermediary. Yes, the person in between the big financial agencies and yourself to make sure that you find the right product, or a advisor, financial advisor. And in South Africa, these particular professions are regulated. They do go through rigorous processes of making sure that they are professionally recognized, accredited, and continue to be monitored. But what happens when you actually find yourself wanting to raise a complaint with someone who is assisting you in your journey to financial discipline, wellness, and freedom? Well, this is where the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Ombudsman comes into office. And their office typically helps many of us as South Africans to manage the complaints that we might have with intermediaries and advisors. To tell us more about what the latest report does reveal, we're joined by Advocate John Simpson, who is the FIGE Ombud. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Advocate Simpson. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm excited to speak to you because you work in a very interesting space, especially given your area of expertise and years of experience here too. But many of us as South Africans, I guess, typically are aware of raising complaints around financial services institutions, their product offering, and finding the right ombud for that. But when it comes to financial advisory and intermediary services, how are we doing as South Africans in terms of having a sense of awareness of your office and the procedures within which to follow?
Well, look, let me tell you, the last year has been awesome for us in that regard.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of inquiries we received at our office increased dramatically,
yeah,
from about 12,000 inquiries to over 15,000. So, look, from our perspective, you know, that shows us people know about us, people know about the existence of the Ombud, and even if the majority of the complaints aren't for our office, we can direct them to the correct office. Whether it be the National Financial Ombudsman Service, the Credit, the Goods and Services Ombudsman, whichever one is applicable, we can direct them there.
Mm.
So, look, from an awareness point of view, we've seen a huge increase, and we really think it's good. It's a good sign.
Exactly. We like the increase because it does mean that South Africans are a lot more aware. And as you say, we have a heightened awareness, but we're also willing to interact and say, it seems like this particular provider is not doing the right thing and I need your help in addressing it. What's also interesting is that you do mention that some of these complaints fell out of your jurisdiction, specifically when it comes to complaints against unregistered financial service providers. Help us unpack there where the shift has happened, where this now falls under a different office, but coupled with that, just the heightened level of exposure regarding financial service providers who are not registered or credited.
Look, that's been an eternal thorn in our side, really, to be honest. Every single financial service provider who offers any financial service of any kind must be registered with the FSCA, okay, the Financial Conduct Services Authority. They cannot operate otherwise. So there are lots of people out there and lots of entities out there offering all sorts of products, all sorts of investment advice. They are not registered. It's unlawful. So what would happen in the past is that we'd receive these complaints, then try and contact the service provider who offered this product or service or investment. They don't exist. Mm-hmm. They don't exist. They don't respond to us. There is nothing we can do. So we realized that, and you know, the rules were changed so that it stopped us from being able to investigate those complaints. All we do is simply report it to the FSCA, and you'll see numerous press releases by the FSCA,
yes,
where they tell people, do not subscribe to these people, be wary of these people, they are not registered. So it's really about a lot of these scams that you see, a lot of the online scams, a lot of these investment promises, invest 1,000 rand with us today, you'll get 10,000 at the end of the week. These are not legitimate people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're really trying to discourage the public from believing these things.
definitely very, very important, especially for those of us who might be under pressure and you think, ah, let me just do make this quick investment with phenomenal returns. But often if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Advocate Simpson, let's deep dive into the reports you have dealt with, though, and some of the complaints. And what really stood out for me is that almost half of the complaints you receive are related to advice given on funeral, life, and credit life insurance policies. This made my eyes pop up open, because these are typically the kind of insurance products that we would prioritize as South Africans. Credit life insurance, life cover, as well as funeral insurance policies. Talk to us about, you know, the themes around the complaints that you typically receive here.
Sure. Look, it stands to reason that funeral policies are the most common policies sold in South Africa. The majority of the people in South Africa, or a large percentage of them, certainly take out funeral policies. There is obviously a cultural aspect to it, the expense of funerals, how many attend. So it is a very common sort of policy that's issued. Again, in that space, you get a lot of these providers that offer these policies. They advertise on Facebook. They will be in the local community saying, no, you pay us this amount per month. We're going to pay out 20,000 Rand or 30,000 Rand. They are unregistered. There's tons of them out there that do this. And essentially, they're running it like a Ponzi scheme. They're taking in money and premiums from people. They retain the money and they pay out the profits, or they pay out the premiums that they receive to people when they get claims, but it's unsustainable. It doesn't last very long. Before long, there's not enough people to sustain this practice, and then they fault. And then you've been paying, and now someone passes away, you need to claim. They don't exist anymore. They're not there. So we report a number of these institutions or entities that we come across to the FSCA as well. And the unfortunate thing about it is that you only notice or realize at a later stage. By the time hundreds of people, for example, have been paying these premiums, then only they can't pay out anymore, then only it's reported. And the FSCA can sort of issue a news release to say, don't go near these guys. You must please, I want to tell the public, please check on the FSCA website. Are these people properly registered? You have to do that. Anything other than that, you're taking a big chance.
And I think this is so important that you mentioned, because so many of us might, you know, be used to the old world of meeting someone who sells insurance and presents themselves as a broker. But the truth is that there are measures and processes to make sure that these professionals are actually accredited and the organizations they run are also registered. And that maybe also speaks to the theme we need to be mindful of when it comes to advisors and intermediaries. Are there any guidelines you can share with us just to make sure that we double check individuals in their capacity to make sure that we're dealing with someone who can be held accountable according to law and an industry body?
Yes, certainly. Look, as I say, your first step is always check on the FSCA website and have a look. Put in if they don't have a registration number at all, you know there's a big problem. They must have an FSCA registration number. If they don't advertise one, then you must know there's a problem. Then you put in the name of the institution or the name of the person that is trying to sell you this product. Put it in there. Their name should come up. And it should reflect what category of license they have and what they're able to sell. Mm. And immediately from there, the next step, if they are registered and they have the ability to sell you that product or registration to sell you that product, next check what professional associations are they a member of? What qualifications do they have? Mm. Check Google reviews. Have a look. Are there reviews on this person? So I know it's a lot of trouble. And I understand it's very, it's time consuming for people to do this. But I honestly recommend doing that. Take the trouble to check out the person and check whether the person you're dealing with is reputable and is worth dealing with. It's worth a million rand to rather do this up front, make sure you're comfortable with this person and have few problems going ahead than having huge problems later on. It's worth the trouble in the beginning.
100%. And I can imagine, given your experience at the phase on board now in your second term, you've probably seen these themes be very dominant over the years. To close off with, though, Advocate Simpson, I'm quite keen, you know, just to take a look at the formal complaints that were closed, inclusive of premature complaints. There's an interesting chart that you have within your report, and I'm keen for you just to talk us through. This basically helps us understand of those people who come to your office, lay a complaint against a professional, how many of them you've been able to help out and assist, essentially, to say, hey, Googs, your complaint is valid. This is how best we can help you and assist you with it.
Yeah, look, we're very pleased with that aspect of the industry and with our processes. What we introduced is sort of a premature complaint process, where if you lodge a complaint with us and we can see you haven't lodged a proper formal complaint with the advisor yet or the FSP yet, we're going to send it to the FSP and say, listen, here's a complaint. You haven't seen it yet, or it hasn't been formally reported to you yet. Have a look at it. You have 6 weeks to sort this out. They're given 6 weeks to sort it out. And I'll tell you what, in about 63% of all those cases, the FSP sorts it out immediately. We don't have to even investigate. Mm-hmm. So that's really working well. If it then does come, if the FSP doesn't sort it out and it's not resolved, or they feel that they were not responsible for any loss, then we formally accept it and we formally investigate it. And then we'll make an order against the FSP if they were negligent. Mm. And overall, yeah, of all the complaints we receive, we find in favor of the complainant in about 39% of the time. So it is certainly a worthwhile statistic, yeah.
Got you. Can't wait to touch base with you again. There's some interesting shifts happening in the market, and we look forward to touching base with you again in future. But thank you so much for your time this evening, Ombud.
Thank you, Gugu. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Advocate John Simpson, joining us as the Fage Ombud. That's the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Ombudsman, joining us to help us unpack the latest feedback from their report.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.